15 years ago, Chris Bremer would not have been able to imagine her life today, married to a Libyan-born Muslim raising two children with Arabic names in the American South. Nor could she have imagined the prejudice that she would encounter or the profound ways her marriage would change her perception of the world. But on a running trail in North Carolina, she met her husband-to-be. He was passionate and sincere, and he loved adventures as much as she did, from acquaintances to lovers to a couple facing an unexpected pregnancy. It's a story of two people, a middle-class American raised in California and a Muslim raised by illiterate parents in an impoverished Libyan fishing village who made a commitment to each other without forsaking their own identities. Krista Bremer tells the story in her new book, My Accidental Jihad, and she joins us on the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you with us. What brought you to this story?
That's a very good question. I began to write about my efforts with my husband to reconcile our different worldviews and to negotiate our differences for the sake of our families. So as you mentioned, I am a woman who was raised in Southern California by parents who had a real spirit of adventure and a healthy skepticism of organized religion. I grew up with a strong influence of feminism in my life. I was an avid surfer. And then I met an older Libyan Muslim man, and I began a relationship with him that had a profound impact on how I viewed the world. And so I wrote this memoir, My Accidental Jihad, about that journey. And so it's a book about a bicultural marriage, and it seems to me that every relationship is bicultural. So whether we marry someone from the other side of the world, as I've done, or we marry someone from our very same hometown, we still arrive into marriage with radically different notions about love and home and family and what those should look like, and we have to negotiate those differences. And we also arrive at a place in marriage where this mate that we have chosen suddenly seems impossibly foreign. And we have to figure out how to navigate that. And that is precisely what interests me. So that's what's been driving my writing for the past several years, is this exploration of what intimacy entails and what enduring love requires of us. And also what gifts it offers us in return.
I want to talk about details, obviously, but let us start at an obvious place, which is your conscious decision to use the word jihad in the title.
Yeah, that's a great starting place, because I know that a lot of Americans associate that word with horrific acts of violence. And I also know that the word in Arabic simply means struggle. And I know from my Muslim husband that the Prophet Muhammad taught that the greatest struggle or jihad of our entire lives is the battle that takes place in our hearts. It's the struggle to confront our egos and the struggle to overcome our selfishness and our intolerance and our laziness and pettiness, and just try to pry our hearts open a little bit more every day for the sake of our relationships and our families and communities and ultimately for humanity. And I could think of no better way to describe how I experience marriage and family, because that's the place for me where I'm forced to confront these sides of myself that I really don't like to look at. It's where I come face to face with my selfishness, my intolerance, and where I have to try to work with that on a daily basis to become a better human being.
In that becoming a better human being, do you, I assume, and you do in the book, of try to figure out what attracted you to this man in the first place, right? Of what was the basis of that relationship?
Yeah. That's right. And it's interesting to try to put that into words, because on one hand, I think it's one of the great mysteries of life is who we fall in love with. And sometimes it defies reason and certainly defies our expectations. And when I think about meeting my husband, I think about these very specific moments that are still quite vivid to me, like the first time he held my hand. I remember the first time I felt his skin against mine in a very gentle way. It felt like a certain kind of coming home. There was something conveyed in that contact that was very powerful to me. And, you know, it's interesting as well because many times people who look at this book will ask me about our religious differences because they assume that those are the most significant obstacles to overcome. But the fact is that my husband's sense of Islam leads him to commit to social justice and to community and to humility. And so those values that he gets from his faith are really easy for me to relate to. And those are actually some of the first points of connection that we had.
And vice versa, right? He has to relate and understand you as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think in many ways he had practiced doing that because he had moved to this country and had been living here, you know, for many years before I met him. But for me, the exposure to Muslim culture and to Libyan culture and to his background was kind of a shock because it was entirely new.
You talk about, you read about meeting the parents. Oh, my.
I'm sorry, meeting the parents when?
No, I said when you go in to meet the family in Libya.
Oh, yeah. I went to Libya when Libya was still under the control of Gaddafi. And I went to meet my in-laws for the first time. And I imagine that I was a pretty good traveler. I've backpacked around Europe, and I've gone down the Baja coast, and I've had these different adventures. But what I discovered is that nothing prepared me for this experience. It was so radically different from what I had done before. And I think part of it is that on previous trips, I stayed in hostels or hotels. So I was able to retreat from the foreign culture and connect with other foreign travelers. But in Libya, I found myself in these situations where I was constantly in the crowded homes of relatives. And I was nearly constantly in some kind of physical contact with my relatives. And that kind of relentless intimacy was both maddening. You know, there were times when it felt like a form of torture, and it was also transformative. I think it really changed the way that I viewed things.
When you started to write this and think about it, was it a group project with your husband in the sense of because I would assume you would be as interested in his input and what he was going through as your own story.
That's right. And the nature of my writing, especially in this book, is that it's quite vulnerable and is at times also painfully honest about our marriage and about my own individual struggles. And so it's reasonable to wonder how my husband feels about that kind of exposure. And every single thing that I write, I show to him before sending it anywhere. And I can honestly say that I think my husband is the biggest fan of my writing, except maybe for my mother.
Right.
So, you know, he's always encouraged me to try to express the truth the very best I can. And he has almost a religious belief in freedom of expression. He's more passionate about free expression than most Americans I know. And I'm sure that this comes from growing up under such brutal oppression and having been denied the right to speak basic truths for so much of his life. So he really believes that if we express the truth the very best we can with the purest intention that we can bring to that work, then it will become a form of service and something good will come of it. So he's just wholeheartedly supported my writing, and it's really probably the biggest reason that I've been able to do this kind of work.
You touch on it in a few places in the book, but do you think living in the South affected the story, impacted the story?
I think the South is interesting because I think that sometimes the South gets a bad rap, especially from those who don't live there. I think people tend to assume, you know, that there's a certain association with racism and intolerance here. And I can only speak to my experience, but I can say that this is the place that has embraced us as a relationship, and this is the community where we found our home. And so I feel such a sense of gratitude for this place. You know, and it's so hard to generalize. It's, you know, in the same way that we tend to generalize about Muslims, for example. And the fact is there are as many expressions of Islam as there are Muslims. And I would say it's probably true also of the South. My experience in this small college town is probably different, extremely different from what it would be in a different rural area of the South.
Well, Krista Bremer's new book is My Accidental Jihad, A Love Story. It is published by Algonquin Books. Krista, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and best of luck.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Great pleasure speaking to you. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, My Accidental Jihad. The book is published by Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.